alive to save, alive to heal, alive to deliver, alive to set the captive free. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, we appreciate you, we thank you for another day, thank you for another opportunity, O Lord, to be in your presence, O Lord, to share your word, to feed at your table in the name of Jesus. As, O Lord, I speak through me, O Lord, Father, as a vessel of honor this morning in the name of Jesus, that the word that will come forth will profit my brothers and my sisters in the name of Jesus. Our preeminence, O God, and let your name, Lord, be glorified. As many as who hear my voice, even online, pray that they be edified. As those who are not saved, they receive salvation. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Today I want to talk to you about the gospel armor. Or the Christian armor. That's talking like a soldier. Praise the Lord. And indeed, we are soldiers of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ describes us as soldiers. And we are to behave as soldiers indeed. Praise God. Please, can you put up the image of a Roman soldier? Because what we are going to talk about has to do with the soldier of Christ. And every one of us, we are soldiers. I want you to know that the Bible says that we are soldiers of Christ. Amen. As a soldier, not just one, maybe you don't have different departments even in the army. You have some in the paramedics. You have some, you know, they are pilots. Some are in administration and all that. I'm talking about the warring soldier. I'm talking about the soldier that is at war. So have that imagery. A soldier that is armed and is at war. Such a man or woman is always on the alert. They're always on the alert because if they are not careful, they can be struck down by the enemy. And that's not the purpose of going to war. Purpose of going to war is to win, you know, is to have victory over the enemy. As soldiers of Christ, we are to be vigilant. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The Lord Jesus Christ also tells us in Luke 21:36 that we should watch and pray always so that we be accounted worthy to escape the events of the great tribulation that is upcoming in the world. So one of the watching, the aspect of watching, we are going to talk about the aspect of watching. What do we really intend to be watching? Is it just to be watching the news? Is it just to be watching what is happening in the streets? Not necessarily. It's part of it. Watch what is happening to Israel. But you on your own as a soldier, be watchful. And when are you to be watchful? When is the war? To surprise you that we are always in the war front. If you didn't know before, please know it today. Since you were listed as a soldier of Christ, since you became a child of God by adoption, since you said yes to Jesus and you became born again, right from that time, you have been enlisted into the army of God. Amen. And from that time, non-stop, you are supposed to be on the alert. This one is important because it's not only on Sundays when we come, you say, oh, we have to be alert. On Fridays, or when we are fasting or having a special program, that's when we need to be alert. When you are in the marketplace, when you are at home, when you are in the community, you are in your workplace, you are supposed to be alert. Praise God. That's why I said you should be sober. Be sober and vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's 1 Peter 5:8. Can you see something? So this is an injunction to us. We should be sober and be vigilant. And one thing I've emphasized already is that it is every moment, not just every day. Not that in the mornings be alert, then noontime be alert. Every moment. This is the reality of Christian victory. Amen. Every moment. You ought to be a serious-minded soldier. Always on the alert, not taking things for granted. Amen. Yes. Whom are we actually fighting? Say we are soldiers of Christ. Who is our enemy? You know the enemy, Satan, the devil. Originally, he was not called the devil. He was Lucifer. God created him. So this our enemy we are talking about. I don't want you to equate him with God. He's not at par with God. Amen. Praise God. He's a created being. He was created as Lucifer. And he was in charge of music and worship. But somehow, because he had an evil ambition, you know, even to overthrow God, his throne, he was cast down to this planet Earth. And when he was cast down with the one third of the angels, God did not make any plan that, oh, one day I'm going to redeem you. No, nothing like that. So he's under sentence, suspended sentence. When the millennium takes place at the beginning or the onset of the millennium, he will be bound and cast into the bottomless pit. Though at the end of the millennium, he will still come up again, you know, but eventually he'll be cast into the lake of fire. That is the story of Satan, once called Lucifer, and his angels. For the angels also, no plan of redemption. I'm emphasizing that because it's important. But when Satan knows that, look, he fell, there was no plan for his redemption or his salvation. But when man fell, God made a plan way back in Genesis, Genesis 3:15. Talks about the seed of the woman. That's talking about Jesus Christ. How that he will come and redeem us. Satan became so jealous of man. Praise God. And he's very, very unhappy with us. Because we are taking his place. When we are worshiping God, we are actually doing what he ought to be doing. So he's not happy. He knows that he's on the sentence and that it's irreversible and that there's no redemption for him. When man even sins, even after he's converted and is born again, God still has provision to restore him. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. So Satan knows about all this, and there's nothing he can do about it. So he's not happy with us, and so it becomes our enemy. I want as many as already Christian to fall or be weakened, be prayerless, or be disobedient to God so that they become vulnerable for his attack. That is why that injunction that we should be sober. Praise God. So you know why we have an enemy now? The enemy is Satan. And he has a government. He has principalities. He has powers. He has witches. He has demons. Demons are at the bottom of it all. They all work for him. But never you be afraid of Satan. I've told you his background. He's not a creator. He was created by God Almighty. He rebelled. And so, God's power is much more than Satan's power. Amen. Yes. But on the other hand, you as an individual, just you as an individual, you are no match to the devil. Praise God. Yeah, but thank God for Jesus. Because our strength is in the name of the Lord. Yes, it's not by power, it's not by mind, but by the Spirit of the Lord. We are who we are by the grace of God. Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is he that's in you, that's Jesus. That's what made the difference. On my own, I cannot stand Satan. But you see, I'm not alone. I have Jesus in me. You have Jesus in you. So don't see yourself at disadvantage. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Also, I want to tell you, Satan is never to be, you're never to be afraid of Satan. In fact, Satan should tremble in the presence of any child of God. Any child of God who is living right, Satan should tremble at his or her presence. Why? Satan has many limitations. He was created by God Almighty, so it's not equal with God. And God is sovereign. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. God is omniscient. He knows all things. Satan doesn't know all things. Satan is not omnipresent and is not omnipotent. Amen. I just want you to have that foundation. That is a great enemy. If we're left with him, he will consume us. But thanks be to God, we are in Christ Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we are hidden in Christ. Another fact I want you to know. Even though Satan fell, we were one-third of the angels. It means two-thirds are still loyal to God. Two-thirds of the angels. Praise God. So we have every reason to be confident that we are going to win in this battle of life. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are to watch and pray so that we are counted worthy to escape the oncoming judgment. So watching is very, very important. Draw near to God and God will draw near unto you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's another thing I want you to know about you and Satan. When you are submissive to the will of God and you resist the devil, he doesn't just walk away from you, he flees from you. Amen. That he runs from you. It's not you going to run from the devil. Satan should run from you. The story of a sister who once came to a pastor. I've said it several times and it's relevant today. He came to the pastor, said, "Pastor, you see where I'm living, my neighborhood, demons or witches, they always come to disturb us at night. So I'm afraid and I want to relocate from that place." That is the request she made to the pastor. Pastor, you know, was surprised that this lady would say that, because it's like he had been trying to disciple the people and this lady doesn't seem to understand exactly her position in Christ Jesus. "You mean I should pray for you so that you run away from the camp of the enemy?" No. And by the way, if you say demons are disturbing you or witches, you have power just as I have. He has given you the Holy Spirit. You only need to say the word and they will flee. So the pastor did not pray for the sister. But the pastor said, "Okay, at night, you just enforce Satan's defeat. Have you been using the name of Jesus? Just cast out the demons when they come. Just say the word and it shall be so." And exactly that's what the lady did. The night at his usual time when they would come and disturb, you know, she called upon the name of Jesus and addressed the demonic powers to flee. And instantly they fled. Praise the Lord. Yes, that's talking about our own authority. Christ has given us authority. He has not left us comfortless. He has given us the Holy Spirit and he has armed us. That's the gospel armor. He has given us an armor to put on always, all the time. Before we go to the armor proper, let us go to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 6. This war that is going on, how is it taking? Is it physical? No, it's not physical. But it's spiritual. And in what realm does it take place? It takes place in the mind. The mind is the battlefield between the child of God and Satan. So that is why you should guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. It's so very important, the heart, the mind, you know, where you reason, your reasoning faculty, where you synthesize the information that you hear or what you see. You know, it's so very important. Guide your heart, guide your mind. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Amen. Yes, continue. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Yes. Next. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Praise God. When we are obedient to God, when we are submissive to God, Satan becomes powerless. Draw near to God and God will draw near to you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Pick race. Not just say, walk away. Not just walk away. He will pick race. Can you see the position God has placed us? Don't you also know that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places? You see, we have got so many privileges and our position is that is greater than that of the enemy. The reason we have to be watchful is that we do not give any leeway to the enemy. We do not give any room for him to come. Those are what is called spiritual legal grounds. When you are okay with the Lord and your heart is right with God, no problem. But when you break the hedge, the serpent bites. What does it mean to break the hedge? To break the hedge is like falling into sin. Then Satan will find opportunity. But when we are all right with God, living a holy life, obedient life, Satan will not have any room. That is why we have to guide our heart. That is why we have to be very watchful. We don't fall into temptation. Temptation is not a sin, but when you fall into temptation, that's when it becomes sin. Praise God. And also, do not compromise, because compromise can give a leeway to the devil, can give an opportunity, can make you to become vulnerable to Satan's attacks. They are spiritual, you know. Oh, we are talking about spiritual warfare, and it is a continuous warfare. So, in view of all this, we are to put on the armor that God has provided. We are to wear it always. Not only in the mornings or afternoon or evenings or special occasions. No, always. So visualize yourself as a soldier, and also that this war is continuous, non-stop. We read from one scripture that the enemy is like a roaring lion, hungry lion, possibly wounded lion, seeking whom to devour. Always, Satan is like going to and fro, looking for anyone that is vulnerable, and then we attack. Praise God. But when you are obedient to God, when you're living in holiness, Satan cannot easily attack. Amen. Let's go now to Ephesians chapter 6. I will talk about the armor indeed, the Christian armor that God has provided for us. He has provided everything that we need to live a life of victory. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, he has provided for us. Amen. Yes. Ephesians 6 from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in your own power, in the power of his might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Aha. So we are coming to the armor proper now. Put on. Who is to put on? God? You are the one. You are the one to put on. You are the one to be conscious. Oh, am I fully armed? I must put on all the gadgets, you know, of the armor so that I will not have any room for the devil cannot get me easily. Because this armor that we are talking about is protective and is protective. But you also have some offensive weapons. We are going to talk about that. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Wise stratagems. The snares, the different tricks that the enemy uses. For example, uncontrolled anger is a common snare that the enemy uses to fight Christians. Uncontrolled anger, uncontrolled temper. You have temper that you cannot control, you cannot easily control. Satan can get you right there. Okay, let me just pause and tell you one story. There is a story of a friend who he was very brilliant, you know, started very well as a brilliant boy, but he had no money, no sponsorship, he couldn't get a good job, so he started to do some menial jobs, that to sell some fairly used clothes. Later on, he was prospering in that business. So he called a friend, and the friend came and started doing the same business. So they were both prospering. After a long time, after some years, the person who usually imports the used clothes considered that this guy has been diligent over the years. Why can't I, you know, let him handle this business in Nigeria? Why he will only just ship it from abroad instead of always flying to Nigeria, pay air tickets and all that? He reasoned like that and called him and said, can you do this? I will be observing you over time. And he said, yes, I can. And actually, they struck a deal. Praise God. So, and this guy started to now clear the goods and he became a big man, so to say. He was prospering much more than ever before. But this is friend, notice a change in level. Praise the Lord. Yeah, he noticed that there was a quantum leap. And so, instead of appreciating and saying, why are you making it? He started to get jealous of his friend who showed him the business. And he now planned to attack this his friend who had brought him into the business. Say, you are just so far above me now. So far above me now. He went to a dating doctor. The doctor said, what do you say I should do to strike him mad instantly? That was his request. Native doctor checked, consulted. Said, sorry, it's impossible. It is impossible. Because this your friend has done nothing. Absolutely nothing. The cost costless shall not perish. Praise the Lord. But he was still determined to hurt his friend. The doctor said, there's no room. He has not abused you, he has not fought you, he has not done anything. So I can't harm him on your behalf. But he decided that he will make his friend to fall one day. So one day the friend came to the house and he had messed up the house. So the friend now came because he was even staying with the friend. And the friend was saying, why is my house upset? Why is it like this? The man was nonchalant. That is his friend. Was nonchalant about it. He was very disturbed. Everything upside down. Even in his presence, he went further to even break the television. You know, just to make him man. Just to provide opportunity for the devil. Can you see where I'm driving at? Just to provide a legal ground for the enemy to attack his friend. So this friend was actually caught unawares. And they fought somehow. And because of that, a leeway had been provided for the enemy. He went immediately back to his native daughter and said, yes, I have done it. And this is the result. And actually, the native daughter saw cause to attack the man and struck him mad instantly. And it happened. And for 15 good years, this man was actually mad. This is a true story. Until some prayer warriors, some men of God, they detected that God revealed to them that this guy, you know, is suffering from such an attack. And they brought him to the prayer house and got him delivered, got him restored. Why have I told this story? To tell you the importance of legal ground. And that how you should not give room to the devil. This kind of quarrel can come between husband and wife. You have to have self-control. If you don't have self-control, the anger that you have may go over to the other day. And that's not good enough. That can make you vulnerable for Satan's attack. Ordinarily, as an armed soldier of Christ, Satan can't get to you. Praise God. Yes. So, verse 12, say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor, not part of it, whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praise God. This is the gospel armor. Please, can you show this Roman soldier? From time to time, we need to picture a real Roman soldier, armed, full. That's the armor of a Roman soldier. And this one, this is a metaphor. You see, the gospel armor is a metaphor of what a Christian soldier should look like. Praise God. The first item mentioned there, put on the belt of truth. The belt. In the loin area, they have a belt. And that belt is very, very important because it is on that belt you have the sword, you have dagger, you have different instruments hang on it. So the belt is important. And what does that belt represent in the Christian life? Truth. And what is truth? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's not just that Jesus is truth, you have Jesus, but you yourself should be truthful as well. Amen. If you say, I have the truth, but you are a liar, you tell lies, you are providing opportunity for the evil one. You make yourself vulnerable because Jesus is truth, in him there is no lie. But Satan is a liar right from the beginning. So I'm just going to treat him in summary. So that's the truth. You need to have truth. For us Christians, the word is truth. Thy word is truth. And it says as our foundation. We must know that God is truth and that truth is in his word. When we remain in his word, we can distinguish between what is true and untrue, between lie and truth. So Jesus is truth. Have the truth of God and have a lifestyle of telling the truth. Amen. Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. John chapter 17, verse 17 says, thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The sum of thy word is truth. And every one of thy righteous ordinance endureth forever. Psalm 119, verse 116. We must renounce every form of dishonesty. It's part of the armor. If you have to be armed, you must reject every dishonesty, every deceit, every hypocrisy and every evil speaking. Amen. Yes, that's one of the ways you put on the truth, the belt of truth. Then we go on to the next one. The next one, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Ordinarily, breastplate protects our hearts and other vital organs in that area. So when you have the breastplate of righteousness, you can see from this picture, breastplate, the one covering all that area, it's a shield somehow. It shields that area, protects that area from attack. When the enemy is throwing arrow of snares to not get to you, that's what it means. Jesus is our righteousness. We all have imputed righteousness. Because of that, we have right standing with God. Amen. But it's not enough to say, I have the righteousness of God. You have to also live right to complement that positional righteousness. Amen. Practical righteousness. Titus chapter 2, 11 to 13. Let's read it. Titus chapter 2, 11 to 13. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. If you live rightly. I know many of us want to settle and say, oh, Jesus Christ is our righteousness, our imputed righteousness, and that's all. Where then do you talk about Christian character and Christian ethics? There's a practical aspect to it, to complement what God has already done inside of you. Amen? So that's what the Bible is saying here. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That is the breastplate of righteousness. To live righteously is to conduct one's life in an upright manner and with moral standards that reflect our relationship with the Lord. In the face of evil, do what is right. Praise God. So living righteously means doing what is right. Put on requires the believer to live by biblical ethics, doing what is right. We should not live immoral lives and claim to be holy. Yeah, I have righteousness of God in me. Then you are living morally. Can't you see a lot of disparity and confusion there? Put on an upright heart. Praise God. Yes, in Psalm 15, 1 to 2, say, who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly. You have to walk upright before God. And walketh righteousness. And speaketh truth in his heart. So it's part of the armor. To speak what is right, speak the truth, and to live righteously. Amen. Yes. And then the next one, the next armor is, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Gospel of peace is gospel of peace. Man and God have been at enmity because man sinned. The wages of sin is dead, but the gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we repent, you know, our position changes. And the righteousness of God now comes and we are presentable to God. We are no longer enemies of God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So the gospel of peace brings reconciliation between man and God. Praise God. That's what the gospel does. And we are to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's why I call the gospel of peace. It brings about reconciliation between God and man. This means being able to stand firm and ready and eager to find opportunities to share the good news to other people. Yes, your feet shod with the preparation. Do the work of an evangelist. You are a prophet, you are a prophetess, do the work of an evangelist. You are an apostle, you are a pastor, do the work of an evangelist. Praise God. Yes. Salvation from sin results in peace. Results in peace. When you are saved from sin, you are now at peace with God. Romans 5 verse 1. Let someone read it. Romans 5 verse 1. Please, can you read it all? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Once upon a time, we were enemies. But through the gospel, through what Christ did on the cross of Calvary, we are now at peace with God. Those of you who are listening to me, are you at peace with God yet? If not, why not now? Ask God to have mercy upon you, to forgive you and let Christ come in, and we give you peace by all means in Jesus' name. Praise God. Be ready always to share the good news. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. Readiness here implies constant vigilance. Be ready all the time. You say, but sanctify the Lord in your heart and be ready always, not sometimes, to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We should be ready, trigger ready anytime to share the good news with people. It must not be in any special way. Just discuss it as you discuss with a friend. Tell them about Jesus. It's an obligation. And I wonder how many Christians think that they are right with God. They are right with God and they disobey God outrightly when it comes to the Great Commission. Because that commission is for every believer. It's not restricted to the apostles or prophets or evangelists or bishops alone. You are supposed to be telling others about Jesus. It doesn't have to be in a church setting. You, in your workplace, in your community, people you come across, you go and cut your hair. Have time to discuss with them or give out a tract. This is how we put on the gospel armor. It's part of the armor. So if you are not putting on the gospel armor, if you don't have the readiness to preach the word, to share the word of God with people, it means you are not fully armed. And God says, put on the whole armor. Amen. Please take note of that. Preaching the gospel helps believers to maintain a firm footing in the faith. The next one there is the shield of faith. Christian concept that refers to the protection that faith provides during trials, such as when beliefs are questioned or when anxiety and fear are experienced, when there is fear. You put on faith. Faith is very important. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The shield, can you see the Roman shield there? That one, when you put on the shield, no matter what the enemy is throwing at you, even during demonstration, you see even policemen, you know, they engage the shield so that if they are throwing missiles, it will not get to them at all. That's important. It will just ward off all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Put on the shield of faith. Have faith in God all the time. Don't doubt. Don't be a doubting Thomas. The shield is both offensive and defensive. Praise God. So it protects you from the darts of the enemy. It provides a blanket of protection when you have the shield. It is the first barrier against the enemy's attack. Without faith, spiritually speaking now, it is impossible to please God. You must have faith. Let your faith be strong. How does faith come? Faith comes through hearing the word of God. Faith grows through putting to action the word of God. Amen. Yes. When we believe God and take him at his word, we remain grounded in truth. The lies of the enemy lose their power and will become overcomers. In that way, faith is our shield. Amen. With faith, we deflect the spears and the missiles of the enemy, the devil. The next one there, that passage, is the helmet of salvation. Can you see the soldier wearing a helmet? Yes. That is for protection. You know, the brain is so very important. If somebody should just shoot at the head, oh, without protection, that person is just gone. So with the helmet, the person is shielded. The helmet of salvation, this protects the mind from sinful thoughts and helps Christians live in a way that is focused on eternity. The helmet protects the head, which is so important that an attack on the head could result in instant death. To wear the helmet of salvation means to live every day focused on eternity and promise future reward. Praise the Lord. Spiritually speaking, the helmet of salvation provides hope and protects the mind against anything that would destroy the Christian, such as discouragement or deceit. Helmet of salvation. After that, you have the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Can you put up Hebrews 4 verse 12? The word of God that we hear, that you are hearing now. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is as powerful as that. It's like a two-edged sword. So the word of God is very potent and is part of the armor. And it is surely a protective armor. And it's also a defensive armor. Jesus used the word of God to overcome temptation when he was tempted by the enemy, the devil. He used the word of God. Even so, though Satan quoted the word of God partly for a wrong purpose, not for the right purpose, Jesus Christ corrected the enemy and he used the word of God to overcome. Similarly, we are to use the word of God to overcome temptations. Whenever temptation comes our way, we are to employ the word of God. There's the written word of God called the Logos, the one that we have here. Yes, it's important. We read it and we meditate upon it. It's very good. There's also the spoken word. When you speak the word of God to a situation, speak to the mountain and it shall be moved. That's rhema, the word of God, the same word of God. You now put it to action, put it to work. Thus, it becomes very effective tool to ward off the words of the enemy. When you witness, for example, you are using the word of God, you know, you are preaching. That's rhema. You are preaching the word of God. You are repeating the word of God, what God said. You are telling to an unbeliever, you can have deliverance. You can have salvation. You can have peace of mind. And so, both the written word of God and the spoken word of God are implied in this passage. Use them to defeat the enemy. Amen. By preaching the word as rhema, we can advance God's kingdom. Can you see this? This one is not just defending, but protecting. In fact, it's expansionist. You use it to gain territories for the Lord through the word of God that you preach. And that brings about deliverance and healing and salvation. You go to Satan's territory and you distort the status quo, preaching the word of God, and people are delivered. Can't you see that you are not just defending yourself with the word of God, but you are expanding the word of God, the kingdom of God, with the word of God? So it's both defensive and protective. Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. The early church used the word of God. So the word of God so spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and large numbers of priests became obedient to the faith. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. We cast out devils, and we heal the sick, and we lead people to Christ through the spoken word of God. Somebody is oppressed, and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I cast you out, you foul and unclean spirit. You are deploying the word of God, and it brings about positive result. Demons are cast out. Somebody is delivered. That's how we should use the word of God. Amen. Use it when you tell others about Jesus. That's another way to use the word of God. Amen. And 7, pray always in the spirit. We know what it means to pray in the spirit. Not with understanding. Pray in tongues. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is power that comes to us when we pray in the Holy Ghost. Jude 1 verse 20. Let's read it. Jude 1 verse 20 is part of the armor. Some people don't see it as part of the gospel armor, but I consider it part of the armor. How can you talk about armor without prayer? But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You first have to baptize in the Holy Ghost before you can think about praying in the Holy Ghost. So if you are listening to me, you are hearing me, you're not yet baptized in the Holy Ghost, what are you waiting for? Salvation is a gift to unbelievers. When you embrace Christ, you become saved. Holy Ghost baptism is a gift to believers. You ask God for it and he will give you the baptism. You cannot ask God for baptism and then he will give you an unclean spirit. Some people are afraid. I don't want to have an unclean spirit. I don't want to have evil spirit. You are talking about you and God. Amen. You're not talking about you and the enemy. And Jesus Christ even gave that illustration. He said, look, you sinful men. Can your son ask you for bread and then you give your son a snake to eat? No. And then are you afraid that, oh, I may have evil spirit? Ask God for it's called Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost baptism, and he will give you the power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you and then shall be my disciples. So the power to witness actually comes from the Holy Ghost. There's power there. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. So, if you are shy, maybe that's the reason why you don't witness to people. You are shy. And sometimes you are timid or you can't face people and all that. You need the Holy Ghost straight. Holy Ghost gives boldness. It's not the boldness that makes you to disrespect elders. You respect elders. You respect dignitaries. But it gives you the boldness to tell whosoever it may be that Jesus loves you. And that if you accept him, he will save you. Yes, you can talk to the president. If you are in position to talk to the president, you don't be ashamed, you will not be ashamed, you will not be afraid. Because you have the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Yes. He has not given the spirit of fear, but of love, of joy and of a sound mind. Praise the Lord. So God has given us Peter boldness. 2 Timothy 1, 7. Actually, prayer is the most important weapon in spiritual warfare. Prayer, talking to God concerning your need. Lord, I'm in need. Help me. And sometimes just calling the name of Jesus. It's like prayer and God will answer you. You are in danger. You don't know what to do. Call upon the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes, he will answer you. Don't let people accuse you. They are always talking about Jesus. Jesus, calling Jesus, calling Jesus. If I don't call Jesus, should I be calling the devil? I should be calling my Lord and Savior. I have the privilege. I have the license. I have the opportunity to do that. Amen. So it's a wonderful privilege to have that name, Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus. Bible says that the blood... Another one is the blood of Jesus, another weapon. We have talked about the gospel armor, but let me tell you about 3 or 4 more weapons of spiritual warfare. We've talked about the name of Jesus. Use the name of Jesus. When the disciples used the name of Jesus, they found out they were victorious. Even demons, they bowed and they reported to Jesus. The Christ said, oh, you are happy because they obeyed you. Be happy that your names are written in the book of life. They will always obey the name of Jesus because that's the greatest name in heaven and on earth. Amen. So it's a wonderful privilege that you and I, we can call that name Jesus and will answer us. Another thing, the word of our testimony, Revelation 12 verse 11, talks about people who overcame by the word of their testimony. And we too, through our testimony, we can overcome the evil one. Talking about spiritual warfare. The blood of Jesus is also very important. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that does that. Without a pure heart, without a clean heart, and you want to pray, will God answer you? No. Psalm 66, verse 18 said no, that your prayer will not be hindered. I mean, will be hindered. So the blood of Jesus plays a vital role in spiritual warfare. Cleanses us always when we call upon him. When we find that we have wronged God directly or indirectly and we ask for mercy, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Near Frisby, a man of God had this to say concerning emergency, spiritual emergencies. A word of wisdom, he said, if any Christian, unquote, comes up against any false witchcraft or spirit, just plead the blood of the Lord Jesus and the evil spirit will vanish. Praise the Lord. Yes, the book of Scrolls, Scrolls 77, paragraph 5. Worship and praise also drive out demons and infernal spirits. Paul and Silas, they praise God. What happened? Miracles happen. If you want miracles to happen, learn to praise God. Amen. There's another way that praises help to bring deliverance to people. When Saul, King Saul, was having an evil spirit oppress him, and David played on the instrument, what happened? The evil spirit left. The evil spirit left at such times when David played the instrument, worshiping God. So that will tell you the power of praise and worship, even on an individual basis. Praise God more than anything else. You'll be praying, and you don't get answer. Start to praise God, start to worship God, start to thank God. Even Jesus himself, each time he needed a miracle, like Lazarus comfort, he always say, I thank you, Father, that you hear me always. Before he multiplied bread, go check all the prayers, short prayers. But he will say, I thank you that you always hear me. Always with thanksgiving. So learn to praise God and you get miracles as well in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we talked about submission to God. That is one of the ways that demons will tremble. Let me also remember this story about worship. There was a man of God or a church where they were praying. And somebody was oppressed of the enemy who knew he had taken some blood covenant and his time was up. He knew he was going to die. So they said, your time don't reach you. So he started to run to a church. He went to a church and said, please, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I've taken this money, something, whatever it is called, but I don't want to die. So they started to pray. It didn't appear as if anything was happening. Pray for a long time, nothing happening. And even the chief priest came and said, you can't, pastor, this one is our own. You can't kill, you can't take him from us. His time is up. Pastor said, no, his time is not up. Pastor changed gear. Say, brethren, stop praying, start praising God. Start praising God, start worshiping the Lord. And that's exactly what they did, and deliverance came for the man. He was spared and the other man vanished. He couldn't stand the presence of God. Praise God. So when you worship God, when you praise God, you find that demons flee God's presence. These are some of the things we do in spiritual warfare. And the gospel armor we have talked about, put on that gospel armor always. And use the name of Jesus. And if need be, call upon the blood of Jesus. Because there is power in all this. Praise the Lord. So in closing, I want to ask, if there's anyone who has not received Jesus Christ, you've heard me or you're hearing me now, please just bow your head and ask Jesus to become your Lord and Savior. Acknowledge you are a sinner in need of the Savior, and Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Ask him to come in and wash away all your sin and make you a child of God. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many are receiving Jesus, he gave them power, he gave them rights, gave them the privilege to become children of God. We become children of God by accepting the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I know there's a false doctrine and false teaching now that all men, we are children of God. All religion lead to heaven. Falsehood. Only Jesus can save. Salvation is only in Christ Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. So accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and he will not forsake you in Jesus' name. Anybody who is sick, receive deliverance in the name of Jesus. By the power in the name of Jesus, you are set free from every spirit. If it's constant evil dreams and all that, you need to pray a short prayer yourself. You don't even have to see a pastor. Exercise your authority, your throne right, and the victory that you have in Christ Jesus, and you always be on the victorious side in Jesus' name. It is well with you. I love you. God bless your hearts.